Hey, this is Tommy Prophet, and this is One Small Step for Bandkind.
Hey, this is Nick, and I am here, with Tommy Prophet. Hey, Tommy,
how's it going? So good. Thanks for having me.
Unbelievable to have you, and I can't believe this undertaking that you have done and are about to do. I saw this post on your Instagram. It was a conversation you were having with your son, and you said, I'm going to perform on the Opry stage. And he said, have you always dreamed of doing that, Daddy? And you said, never could have ever dreamed it. Yeah. But it's happening.
It's kind of unbelievable to me. I'm still pinching myself and can't believe it, you know? So
it's
insane. I mean, we did a concert last year of this Christmas album that I did for the first time. And it was kind of like a trial run, like, hey, is this possible? Let's just try to do it and see what happens. And it just went so well, and we recorded it. So we're like, we need to do it again and invite more people. And, you know, cause we sold out last year pretty quickly. And so, yeah. They were like, all right, well, let's do the Grand Ole Opry. And I'm like, wait, are you sure? I don't think we have any business being on that stage, you know? And here we are. So I'm super excited about it.
And Tommy's being very modest. They sold out in 24 hours last year. So less than 24 hours.
No one saw that coming. You know, we were like, oh, do we need to do a, you know, before we even went on sale, we were like, should we pull the plug on the whole thing? Should we do a smaller venue? Like, who's going to come? Like, we didn't know what the response would be. So it was, it was just remarkable. We're super excited about that.
Yeah, it is. It is remarkable. And you have done so much on so many different facets of music. And yet, I think I heard you say that you preferred this live to the recorded version. Is that true?
Yeah, and I truly never have liked a live version of anything more than the studio version. Like, I'm just not a live album guy. And I'm like, oh, here I am making a live album. You know what I mean? And the Christmas album that I did in 2020 was such a special, like, passion project for me. I just didn't want to touch it. But the only way I would want to do it is if we could really, like, do it right and make, you know, and I feel like the live aspect of it, we spent a long time just mixing and making sure it sounded really good. And the singers are incredible. And I feel like it feels bigger and more epic and more energetic than the studio recording. You know what I mean? Just the room, and we have a live band and a live drum kit, and it's just 100-person choir. It just felt huge and massive, which is the whole goal of everything that I try to make. You know, that's like my thing. It's like, make everything as epic as possible, you know? So yeah, I love how it turned out. And I think it's just my favorite. For whatever reason, this Christmas project is so special to me, and it will probably be my favorite thing that I ever do, you know? So I hold it close.
I think a lot of people are holding it close because it's bringing up emotion in people, as it should, whether it's the strings or whether it's the, you know, I'm just thinking about the whole tonal look of the different voices that are coming in. And I was curious how you picked some of those tones. I mean, it seems like you have, like, even sort of a baritone sort of female vocalist coming in, and you have a baritone male, and you have, I don't even know the right words for some of these different tones that are coming through with some of these performers. Did you specifically say, I need this to be high soprano, I need this to be alto, I need this to have more bass to it when you're picking vocalists?
Yeah, like the vocal selection for the, you know, original album was the most intentional process I've ever made. You know, it was very much like having an artist in mind, arranging it with them in mind and for their voice and the sound and the key and everything and what that song needs to be. Because every voice is different. It has different, like tones, like you're saying, but even different, just different abilities, and it conveys different things, you know, different emotions. And some people can do this so well, but not that so well, you know what I mean? So everyone, I just kind of placed everyone in their strength, you know what I mean? And you know, Fleury's voice, for example, just sounds soft and like snowfall. So we had her sing Silent Night, you know, but then Jordan Smith can sing up to the rafters and so powerful. And so we gave him like a really big, massive orchestra like arrangement to sing over, and then made a key change. So we jumped even higher. You know what I mean? We just kind of, it was very intentional with the artists and the voices. And most of the same artists are on the live version. There were a few scheduling conflicts, you know, naturally that's going to happen. But even those new artists that jumped in, like they're just as special, you know what I mean, on the live version, and their voices are just insane. I feel very, very grateful to get to work with such incredible vocalists, you know, to make this whole vision of this project come to life. And I've just always been a fan of like belting powerful voices, you know what I mean? They complement the music very well.
I think of Evie McKinney and Doe. I'm the belting that those small bodies can do. It's
I don't
unreal.
know. I don't know where it comes from. It's insane.
And then Jordan Smith, I talked to him about, you taking it to another key and another key. Jordan Smith loves you so much, but he loves your humor most of all. So I was like, I mean, I don't know, you guys just gel somehow.
Oh man, when he's in, every time we do anything, whether it's filming something or recording or whatever, our faces hurt from laughing so much. We have the same sense of humor, and we just die laughing. And we do funny versions of even the songs these serious songs we're doing. We like record funny versions on purpose, and we're like, if anyone knew we were even taking time to do this just for our own personal entertainment that no one will ever hear. He's one of my favorite people in the world to hang out with. He's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Well, he loves you and loves hanging out with you too.
That's
I want to
awesome.
go back into your childhood. And you said something that I was going to ask you, that you always want to do something epic. How does epic begin with you as a child?
I don't know where that comes from. I'll be honest. Like, I started playing the piano when I was really young, and I learned some, classical piano pieces, and I did a lot of worship music in church growing up. And somewhere along the way, I just found this like adrenaline personally when music gets really big, you know, whether I hear it somewhere or like when I'm making it. And then I'd found like trailer music. Not like while I'm watching trailers, but actually just listening to trailer music that people are making for trailers and, movie trailers. And I would just listen to that music in my car all through high school. And I mean, that was just, I didn't know what was on the radio when I was in high school. I just was like, yeah, but have you heard like Immediate Music's new release, Lacrimosa? It was in the Spider-Man trailer. And like, no one could relate. No one, no, it's like, no one knows. He's in his own world, you know? But then that door opened for me to start making trailer music and cinematic music, which I just didn't think that door would ever open. It wasn't really something I thought was possible. And so when I had that opportunity, I just jumped through that door, and I've done a lot of that. So I've always wanted to make this Christmas record. So I was like, man, blending that with a big orchestral, sometimes trailer music, but sometimes just movie score. Like, I want it to be beautiful too, not just epic and dark, you know what I mean? But combining all that with my background in worship and epic cinematic music, I kind of got to put everything that I've ever learned all into one project. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why it's so special to me. You know what I mean?
I
But
definitely, especially when I hear those dark strings with Stephen Malcolm, that reminds me of some of the maybe the NF stuff that you did. And then I hear Crowder, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and that has this, to borrow a term from Crowder, that has this swampy feel next to this beauty, and it just really so unique, and I just it is epic. I mean, that's the only word for it. You've done it.
No, man. Well, yeah, thank you. It was so much fun. It's the most fun I've ever had, and getting to do it live too is, when I was making the album, I was like, man, this would just make such a cool concert if that, but I'm like, that's it. No way could we pull that together, and somehow a miracle of God, like we did, and we're doing it again, and I don't know what this means, like after this year, like we're, there's conversations and stuff, but it really is like an actual dream come true. I mean, I know people say that a lot, and maybe sometimes it's partly true, or it's a brand new dream that they just got a week ago. But this is like, for me, it's going on 20 years of like dreaming this, like doing a big Christmas show. Like that's always been something I've dreamed of doing, So this is, it's unreal to me.
So how involved are you actually with the lighting person? Because that plays a huge part in the night's experience, right?
The lighting guy is insane. I mean, they called me in and said, hey, we want to show you what we're doing. And he played some of the programming that he did all on his own. And I was like, guys, I have no notes. This is way beyond what I thought it was going to be. And I think on one song, I was like, what if we changed the hue? It was kind of like a green. And I was like, maybe make it more blue. And I'm like, that's it. And he was like expecting notes for every song. And I was like, I love what you did. The whole production team. I have,
Yeah.
there's so many people. I mean, this kind of show, like, there's so many pieces with, there's 20 artists and there's a, full orchestra and hundreds of people in the choir. And like, just facilitating all those people
Yeah.
takes almost as many people, like hundreds of people,
Yeah.
just to coordinate. You know what I mean? And, to put
Yeah.
on the show, it's hundreds and hundreds of people. So I'm so thankful that everyone's just coming together to kind of make this vision happen,
That's beautiful. There's this scene on YouTube, one of the songs, and I don't remember which one it is, but this ballad, sort of right in the middle, that it just it the lighting comes around it. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, but the lighting comes around it, and it's almost like, like a cave or a womb or something, and then this song comes out of it. It's just it's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah, the whole thing just, it just still feels like surreal to me. I'm like grateful just to be there and doing it. I think last year, I'm excited about this year, because last year, we recorded it and filmed the whole thing. And so I was still very much in like a producer mode of like, we're capturing this, everything that happens. I'm like, okay, like how are we gonna, fix that in post, or how am I gonna, like, I gotta make sure everything's ca like there's a lot of pressure to record a live thing. But this year we're not recording, we're just doing the performance. So I think I'll just be more present and just having fun performing, and I'll actually get to like watch the show from the piano on stage as it's happening a little more than I got
Oh
to
my
last year,
gosh. Well, that's my question to you. The artists are revolving, the vocalists are revolving, but you're there at the piano. How do you prepare for that kind of a night at the piano?
It's a lot of individual personal preparation on everyone's part. And we come in that day, and we do a 6-hour sound check, really, and we run through everything one time. And it's kind of crazy. It feels like the same amount of chaos as like an award show, where it's like, hand them the
True.
mic and they're packing, they're on stage. And like, most artists, when you come out and do a show, like your first two or three songs, you have a lot of adrenaline, your breath is a little short, and so you like get comfortable, and then all of a sudden it's like you get, then you do the rest of your show, you talk, and it's, but none of these artists get the luxury of those songs to like calm down. They literally come out and they're not just doing one song, they're doing the hardest song that they've ever sung. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tall order. I almost felt, I always say this, like I almost felt like uncourteous to even ask them to perform these songs live in front of people, much less recording them last year, because they have to just scream the highest notes they can in front of thousands of people without a song before it or after it to warm up or anything, right? And then they walk off and they're done. They're like, oh, that was, it's like everyone comes out, they give everything they have, and then they
They
walk off
do.
feeling like they just sang for an hour and a half, just feeling like they did a workout,
Yeah, true. It's true. They're coming out. There's one of the girls, I can't remember her name right now. She sings with Torrent, Oh Holy Night, right?
Oh, Circina.
Yes. And
Molly.
she has this smile on her face in the recording of it. And I'm like, wow, such intense music coming out of her body. And here she has this pleasantry on her face. It's just so
I know.
special. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is it's just a special, and everyone, honestly, what's crazy is I kind of had this secret idea of like, okay, if this goes well, like maybe we could do it again next year, right? Or make it an annual thing or whatever. And before I said that, I was kind of like worried, like, oh, guys, I know I asked you to sing it again live, like thinking they would never want to do that again. Almost every single artist came to me and said, that was one of the best things I've ever been a part of. Like, we have to do this again. Like, this has to be a thing. It felt like, backstage, it just felt like a big family reunion Christmas party. You know what I mean? It felt like a special, it really is a special group. Like, I'm just so thankful that it's so collaborative and everyone's on board to just come and pull off this crazy thing. You know what I mean?
I also love Holland in there so much, and I know you've done some things with Toby Mac, but it's so great to see her. She's such a talent. I think she's underrated, and I just am so grateful. I love that song with her and Colton Dixon.
Her and Colton, that was another very intentional match. They're both two of the best vocalists, male and female, that I'd ever worked with. And so I was like, I called them and they were both like, dude, I'm in. The second I asked, they're like, this sounds awesome. And so Holly is just insane. She can do anything with her voice, and so yeah, it was fun to, I hadn't seen her in a few years. So I kind of called her out of the blue. I was like, hey, you're one of the best vocalists ever, and I have this crazy song. I'm doing the show, and she's like, this is awesome. I can't wait. So it was super fun.
Wow. And will you have the children's choir this year too?
Oh, heck yeah. You know it. Can't wait. Yeah, we have I love that sound of the kids choir. Like kids in a kids choir in Christmas music is just, Home Alone kind of made, like John Williams kind of made that like iconic, you know what I mean? And so I love that sound. It's really special to have them.
Do your kids sing in the choir?
They do not. They are not choir singers. I think they would be so nervous if I even had them come out on stage, they're just not used to that, performing on stage. But yeah, they love the show though. That was cool. I was like, last year we were like, we need to bring a babysitter, so if they get restless, we can take, and they're not that young. They're 11, 9, and 6. But they just sat there and they were glued the whole show and they watched the whole thing and they loved it. So that was really cool. As a dad, that was really special.
Very special. And now on the Opry stage.
It's insane. I'm super grateful. Yeah, it's gonna be a really special, fun night.
I'm so proud of you. And I think in Music City, sometimes people get jaded to music in general. I think that's just the nature of it. But the buzz in Music City to see this show is epic.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's I they've done a good job getting the word out about it, you know? So
Yeah.
we'll see. And what's crazy too is like, you know, it's in Nashville, obviously, but you know, over 50% of the room is traveling from out of state,
Yes.
you know, to
Yes.
come last year and this year. And so that's really crazy to me too. There's a few people from different countries flying in, and it's just like, you know, so
Yeah.
we're trying to figure out what to do with this, you know?
Yes. So good. Well, I had a memory I wanted to mention to you. When I was a child, I traded a beef cow for my first piano. It was a 1924 Fisher, and I still have it, and I still play it from time to time. But we always had this concert grand piano in every place that we lived. And I remember laying down on the truck that that was on and watching the hammers hit the strings. And I think of a piano as a stringed instrument, and I love watching you play those strings, you know, along with that orchestra. It's so beautiful. I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really special. That's one of the places where I truly feel the most comfortable. You know what I mean? Like just as a little kid playing piano my whole life, but then I did shows for a long time. A lot of people don't even know that, but 13 years I traveled and played and like led from stage at the piano, and then I started doing more production and TV film stuff. So I haven't traveled, I hadn't traveled or played live in 5 or 6 years. So I was
Wow.
kind of curious, like, is this gonna feel right at home like it used to, or is this gonna be kind of like having to like learn it again, or you know what I mean? And as soon as we started, it just felt like home again. It felt just comfortable, and like it was so fun. Like just, you know what I mean? Sitting behind the piano, there's just something about that that feels
Wow.
like really, really, you know, familiar and special.
And are you pacing yourself with the conductor, or is he pacing himself with you, or?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of in-ear monitors with click tracks and all that stuff, you know what I mean? So we can all stay together. That's a lot of people to wrangle together. The conductor is
Yes.
amazing, but man, yeah, there's, you know, 200 people that all have to stay together. So we're locked in, you know, to a click, and a lot of people put in a lot of work to make sure we're all playing at the same time, you know
Amen. Well, it's going to be phenomenal.
what I mean?
The Birth of a King live at the Opera House. Unbelievable, historic,
Yeah,
iconic, epic,
crazy. Yeah. Those
Tommy
are
Prophet.
all my favorite words. You got
Well, thank you
them.
so much for talking to us about that. And we're playing it. We're playing it on the radio. We're pushing it. We're talking about it. I mean, as much as possible. Really, really proud
Awesome.
of you, and want as
Thank you
many
so
people as
much.
possible to hear this music.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Seriously. Thank you so much for
Okay.
having me.
We'll see you. We'll be thinking about you.
All right.